Carefully, he untied her arms from around him and dismounted. Christy felt as though she might fall without his help. She was so weak. It was only when she didn't that she realized how well he had secured her to the vehicle. Gradually, the light through her lids became less painful, and she carefully opened her eyes. It was hard to tell, though. The rider was standing in front of her, his hands behind his back, observing her. His goggles were still in place, so his eyes gave nothing away. His body language and posture were unthreatening, but Christy was still wary. And she was trying to cast a glance around her without giving it away, looking over his shoulder rather than at him, hoping that he wouldn't notice. The long bunker was well equipped, looking for all the world like a mechanic's wet dream. The motorcycle she was still secured to was one of three such vehicles, and the tools, she had never seen the like outside of military redoubts, which this wasn't. There was none of the insignia, none of the signs, the rules and regulations that came with such places. The vehicles weren't painted in camo colors or a uniform shade. In fact, a nearby armored wag was a bright scarlet, which suggested that this had been a base with no military affiliations. She knew enough about the Jack before Skydark to know that this would have cost big. So if not remnants of military, who were these people? There were five doors at points along the walls. She would have loved to know what lay behind each. But for now, she had to find out more about the crazy who stood watching her. Were the rest of the people here like him? Or worse? A thin smile cracked the face of the rider.
Good, good. You are awake. I trust you have recovered from your illness as we journeyed here. I must apologize for its effects upon you during recovery. I have had no call to use the gas before, and that was an effect that was not on file. I shall have to see if this unfortunate effect can be remedied before any further use.
Christy felt that she had to choose her words carefully.
That's good. Yes, it's good that you want to avoid anyone experiencing discomfort.
You seem a little upset, a little less than reassured. I know that it was neither the best nor the friendliest way to introduce myself, but as I stated, it was the most expedient, and that is my priority right now. The notion of having to do what may not necessarily be the right thing per se, but is the right thing for that moment, must surely be something with which you are familiar, Christy Roth.
Well, if you know who I am and you want to gain my trust, then the first thing you'd know is that I don't take kindly to being tied up like this. You can explain anything else you want in whatever way you want, but it isn't going to mean shit while you've got me trussed up like road chill.
Oh, please forgive me. That was most remiss. You are, of course, correct.
He took off his goggles and hung them over the steering column of the bike. Taking in as much as she could quickly, Christy saw that the goggles were high-tech. It looked like a scope, a speaker, and a mic attached to it. She caught a glimpse of some other circuitry, the purpose of which was beyond her, before the rider moved in front of her and blocked the view. As he leaned over, she also caught a brief glimpse of startlingly blue eyes. Not just the color, but something else that she didn't have time to fully absorb. With a tenderness that she wouldn't have expected, the rider loosed her bonds and took her weight as she swayed, weaker than she thought. He picked her up gently.
Oh,
please. You are still weak, and your circulation will have been momentarily impaired by the bonds and the journey. Allow me.
He carried her across the floor of the bunker toward one of the five doors. Christy balked at letting him do this, yet at the same time, she could feel how weak she was. Anything that would let her regain her strength, give her time, was a good thing. Besides, she figured that she could fake being more exhausted than she was, and take the opportunity to try and observe as much as possible of the complex in which she found herself.
Sector 3, open door 2, please.
He exited into a corridor that was noticeably more ornate than the bunker. The walls were painted in an eggshell blue, and the lighting was concealed. A soft-hued tone lit the corridor, and the doors leading off it, all frustratingly closed, were made of old wood, varnished, polished, and ornate. The floor was actually covered with an old pre-dark-style carpet, in a shade to match the walls, no less. This was certainly no redoubt. Christy allowed herself to be carried, taking all this in, even though it told her very little. but she couldn't hide her surprise at what happened next.
Howard, your request for addition to file 444/720G has been noted and attended to. Work is currently taking place on synthesizing an element to eliminate the noted effect. Until this is achieved, the remaining grenades will be removed from the Ordnance Depot.
Thank you, Sid. Would it be possible to have records of the missions available by 0700?
This can be done. Is there anything else?
Inform Hamill that I would like schematics for the cruiser available first thing. There's still a lot of work to be done, but I think it may not be long before we have allies in our quest.
That is excellent news, Howard. I shall refer the request immediately.
Thank you.
Who?
Sid is the hub of this base. Without him, the whole Thunder Rider project could not have been launched.
Thunder Rider? Who are Sid and Hamill? And I don't even see any speakers in this hallway.
Don't concern yourself at this stage. It will all become clear to you soon. But first, you must rest. I fear that the effects of the gas are more wide-ranging than the files would have led me to believe.
They had reached the end of the corridor. A staircase wound around an elevator shaft. It looked like something she had seen in old vids or photographs. The stairs were carpeted like the corridor, and the elevator was of open ironwork, the cage decorated in a design like leaves and flowers.
Level 4, door 7, please.
Christie's mind raced as she tried to piece together what she knew, which wasn't much, but it was beginning to make an intriguing picture. She knew that only those at the highest echelons of pre-dark society lived in places that looked like this. She also knew that any private citizen with this much technology was similarly rare. Put that together, and you had someone who had serious power and influence before Skydark. That would also account for the staff, the invisible staff. She'd feel happier when she'd seen them, had some idea of what they looked like. So, there were people with a lot of power who'd taken to their bunker when the new cost happened. And this Howard, who somehow didn't seem quite as threatening as his actions would have indicated, was the result of several generations underground. There had to be a bigger gene pool down here than was evident, as Howard was nowhere near as inbred as she would have figured. But there was something about his eyes, a kind of coldness that made her hair curl around her protectively, made her wonder what was going on behind those ice-blue orbs.
This was my sister's room. I think you will be comfortable here.
He carried her inside a room that was lushly decorated in pinks and oranges, and placed her on a bed, covered with a richly decorated comforter. Christie was left alone, lying on the bed, staring at the ceiling, questions filling her head. She knew there was nothing she could do right now except get some rest, until she'd had a chance to find out more. Any thoughts of escape would have to wait. She turned onto her side and tried to sleep, but the knowledge that something in the room was watching her made that far from easy. From here on out, everything was going to be far from easy.